Hi, I'm Vaya Skinner, coordinator for campus communications. Welcome to HCC 360. Earn while you learn. That's what apprenticeships are all about at Hartford Community College. If you are interested in a career in the electrical trade, HVAC, or childcare, the opportunity to get started is here. WHFC student intern Gabriel Basford sat down to talk with Matt Bayless, Assistant Director for Trades and Apprenticeships here at HCC. Let's get into it.
Hi, my name is Gabriel Basford here at HCC 360. Here before me is Matt Bayless. And I wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for joining us with here today.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, my friend. And I want to just fire off, you know, start off with the questions right away. With the first one being, what can you tell us about yourself and what you do here within HCC?
Well, again, my name is Matt Bayless. I'm the Assistant Director for Trades and Apprenticeships. And as that title implies, I work with all of our trade programs, all of our skilled trades, all of our building programs, things like that, and of course our apprenticeships.
And you mentioned about apprenticeships. When did this apprenticeship program start? What was it like?
Well, the very first apprenticeship program we had was our electrical apprenticeship, which started here all the way back in 1978, which you probably don't even know that number.
No.
The second one came on was our HVAC program, which actually started in 1996 here. And then we're starting a child care apprenticeship that the college is actually sponsoring coming up starting in January.
And HVAC and electrical, they go hand in hand, right? Different trades. And you mentioned about child care.
HVAC and electrical are what you consider your traditional apprenticeships. They're in the construction trades. That's the really the first place where apprenticeships started hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The idea being that you train with a master, with a journey person who's done the work for a while. Well, the same concept can be applied to a lot of non-traditional programs. In our case, we chose childcare because, like HVAC and electrical, the one thing they all have in common is a high demand.
And how are apprenticeships, how are they different compared to workforce development?
A lot of our traditional trades classes, our workforce classes, you come, you register for the class, maybe you have somebody like Susquehanna Workforce that will pay for you to go through the class, or maybe you have to pay out of pocket. With an apprenticeship, the model that the state likes to promote is earn while you learn. And the idea is that you're out there working full time, and you're just coming to us for some related instruction a couple nights a week, usually. In the case of childcare, it's all going to be online training for the most part. And the idea is you're working full time, so you're applying your skill, your new education right on the job while you're out there, and you're making hopefully a decent income.
Basically, having that push to having them gain themselves like on-job experience while also getting themselves, you know, sufficient pay, right? Stable pay while they're learning, you know, basically the trades within a job.
Let's exactly.
say within HVAC or electrical.
All the apprenticeships have a required amount that they need to pay. So the apprentices are going to make less than a journey worker will, because that's a licensed trade person in many cases, or, you know, somebody who's been doing the job. Well, the apprentices earn a certain amount based on their experience. They get regular raises based on their work hours and everything else. And the reason I'm being vague is it's a little different for each model. But idea being that when they complete the program, they're now that journey worker, and they're making at least what the state minimum journey worker wage is. Although, like everywhere else in today's market,
believe me, certifications, especially for like a journey person certifications, are going to be very, very important. But also kind of leads me into this next question, right? So for the apprenticeship, they're pretty much for electrical, for example, right? They are pushing in to get that certification for the journey person certification. Is there any other certs they may possibly be able to work for?
Well, especially with the traditional trades, there's continuing education that they have to do. They have to constantly maintain their knowledge.
Absolutely.
There's code changes. There's, you know, laws and regulation changes, things like that. But then also, again, with the traditional apprenticeships, they can, after working a few more years, learning a little more, they can go and sit for their master's exam. Now, master, as it implies, is going to be really knowledgeable in that trade and therefore hopefully a higher skill than a journey purser, which usually means also a higher pay.
And do they have to take an exam when they go after for the master's?
For the master, you have to take an exam. There's no way around that one. But both of the sponsors of our electrical and HVAC apprenticeship offer prep courses towards those master's tests. So, and of course, they also offer like code change courses and any other continuing education that they can offer. So the things are available. In the case of our electrical folks, it's all done right here on campus.
And I was wondering if you could possibly try to walk me through it. Let's say, you know, what would the day go for someone who's working within the apprenticeship for, let's say, HVAC or electrical?
Well, it's going to vary depending on what they're working on. If they're working in residential, it might be just as simple as riding around in a service truck and doing a lot of repairs or installations. If they're doing construction, obviously that's all installation and getting heavier pieces in and things like that.
Yeah.
If it's commercial, it's bigger versions of the residential. It still could just be repairs, but more often with commercial, it's remodels or build, you know, again, construction. And when you start talking industrial, you start talking about really massive equipment. Very few apprentices start out in the industrial, but if they do, it's a big field to be in, and yeah, they get exposed to some pretty heavy duty equipment. So it does vary a little bit, but it's usually these apprentices, they'll go in oftentimes early in the morning, 5, 6, 7 a.m. start times. They work their 8 hours, sometimes 10, whatever. And during the fall and spring terms when they have class, they're coming up here two nights a week to complete their classes, about roughly about 3 hours a night.
How do you find the companies for them to work with?
Well, a little bit differently for the two sponsors of our traditional trades, they are associations. So there's many companies that are members of their organizations, and they will go to them first for their apprentices. They'll say, hey, I'm looking to hire X number of apprentices. And, you know, the apprenticeships and the companies will then work together. The organizations will work together. In the case of our child care apprenticeship, we've been advertising out to many of the child care facilities. That program is going to be statewide or available statewide. So we've put out the word, and especially to some of the bigger child care companies. I'm not going to drop any names, but we made sure they know. And then there's also some partners, some organizations, some trade groups that we've shared that information with and let them know. So that information is getting out to the employers, and they're all hearing about us and contacting us and asking, hey, what do I need to do to hire an apprentice?
And I can definitely see this, how this could possibly be very, very profitable, especially getting themselves, you know, basically new, fresh workers off the line working for the company right off the bat within this apprenticeship. And that sounds really fine, Danny. Also, you did mention that for the electrical side of things, right? You teach commercial, you teach industrial, and you also teach residential?
It's there's different codes, different regulations, and different needs for what they do. And those factors are all taught as part of the training, and that's part of why it's the easiest way to get your journey worker license. If you're working for a small residential company, you're not getting exposed to the commercial and industrial folks as much. But when you sit down for your journey worker test, you're going to be asked about them. By going through this training, you could be working for a residential or a commercial company, but you're still going to learn about the other sizes, the other factors, the other materials. And if you complete the apprenticeship program with your required on-the-job training hours, your related instruction, you don't have to test for your journey worker's license. So not only are you learning more than you can just working, but you're also bypassing the need for that first exam.
For that certification. And that's definitely a huge, huge, big plus there.
Oh, yeah.
And
a lot of people are terrible test takers.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lie when I say this. I wasn't exactly the best test taker around. Point is, though, flexible hours. That's going to be very, very important, especially when someone's interested in doing the apprenticeship, right? How flexible can these hours be while working apprenticeship?
Realistically, not really flexible. You know, the traditional trades, like I said, those guys are going in at 5, 6, 7 in the morning. Now, the employers, a great example that I know of, the employers might work a certain shift while class is in session in the fall and spring. But in order to help enjoy their summer, they switch to maybe a 4-hour, 4-10-hour day instead of a 5-8-hour day because they don't have to have the apprentices out as early to get back up here. You have to understand these apprentices are working all over the state. So an apprentice could be working down, say, in Gaithersburg. Mm-hmm. Well, his employer's got to let him off by 3 o'clock to get up here for a 6 o'clock class. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing I'll mention on a side note. Mm-hmm. The trades want more women. They want more females to participate. It's a very small percentage that are female journey workers out there, and the trades want more.
More like, and more diversity. So that
more diversity.
Yeah, bigger, you know, more perspective, pretty much.
It's more perspective. There's, generally speaking, there's just not enough representation of the entire population when you look at your tradespeople. So, and on the child care, it's kind of the reverse. The child care is dominated by women, and they'd like to see more men apply as well. So it's really a good, you know, don't think traditional roles, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Think, hey, there's a lot of opportunity here for anybody.
Especially with this push of the apprenticeship, I think that would definitely help, you know, broaden it up. Basically get ourselves more diversity within, you know, within HVAC,
that's what we want.
Electrical, and child care. And I see that as being a major, huge goal, and I really do wish you guys do hit that goal. What are the advantages that employers may benefit from apprenticeships?
Well, employers see a lot of benefit from apprenticeships in a lot of ways. One of the biggest problems in any industry right now is either turnover or even just hiring people. The employer is going through the apprenticeships. First off, an apprentice needs to work. That's part of the requirement of the apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. So they want to work. They're looking for a job. To avoid, but also avoiding turnover, apprenticeship in the state of Maryland, according to Department of Labor, has about a 92% retention rate of the apprentices staying with the companies that they trained with often. So when you look at that, that's less turnover for the employer. That's a trained employee, a licensed employee, and now somebody who can maybe go out and train the next round, all within that employer.
And how many hours are they required to work for this apprenticeship?
It's a full-time employment, so they are working 40 hours a week.
48 hours?
40 hours a week, and often, again, especially in the skilled trades, overtime's there. So they're going to make some extra now and then.
And when they reach the end of this apprenticeship, is it guaranteed that they secured a job or guaranteed?
They're already working. Nobody can guarantee anything. Okay, that's a word that I avoid very, very carefully. But they're already working. If they've made it successfully through this apprenticeship, they're already working because that was one of the requires. The skilled trades, the HVAC and electrical, they have to have 8,000 hours of on-the-job training as part of their four-year program. It sounds like a lot, but it's really just full-time for 4 years. A child care apprenticeship, they have to have 3,000 hours, which is still sounds like a lot, but it's just full time for 18 months, the length of the program. So they're coming out of this program already working with an employer. So while I can't say they're guaranteed to be working, they already are.
Much higher likelihood, I would say.
And it's easy once you have your licenses. Employers might shop you. You know, they might come to you and say, we'd like to offer you this much where we know you're making only this much. It's not supposed to be known, but people know what their competitors are doing.
Especially with them working with the possibly the same company for over those 4 years with an apprenticeship, there may not be much of a really incentive of, let's say, like I said, I'll work for a different
92%
company.
Retention rate is huge.
That's
employers
a high
are saving
rate.
A ton of money. There is, I could almost bet you that there's no other level of employee that has a 92% retention.
What kind of range or earnings could you expect working for HVAC or electrical during this apprenticeship?
Well, starting out, a brand new apprentice is guaranteed they have to be paid at least 50% of whatever that company is paying their journey workers. So the state average is approximately, I think, around $25 an hour, which we know with January 1st, the minimum wage is going to be more than half of 25. So they're going to have to pay at least the minimum. But that's only the guarantee to start with. Every 1,000 hours, or roughly 6 months, that an apprentice works, they have to get 5% more of what that journey worker is earning. So do the simple math. If a company is paying their journey worker, let's say $30 an hour, just for round numbers, they're going to start out, they're required to make $15 an hour right off the bat. At 6 months, if they've been with that company for that long, now they're jumping up to about $16.50 an hour. Mm-hmm. And it continues on as it continues to grow. So that wage is guaranteed. A lot of companies now, though, are struggling. So they're not necessarily paying the minimum. They might be paying a little bit more because they are required, they need to get those workers. Mm-hmm. And it might take a little more than just paying, like I said, the state average is only 25, so it might take more than $12.50 to get somebody to come to work for them.
Now, comparing with the job market, because the job market is very, very competitive, right? Let's say comparing with someone that's taking this apprenticeship compared to some normal average Joe who's never taken his apprenticeship before, right? They both want to go after a job. How more likely are they to secure that job, the person with the apprenticeship, compared to someone who never went through this course?
Well, let's put it in a perspective of something maybe more people can relate to.
Okay.
If you were running a restaurant and a waitress with even 6 months experience came to talk to you, or somebody who was going through some professional culinary training, cooking training, came to talk to you versus me, who has no experience as a waiter or no experience in a professional kitchen, who would you hire?
Person with more experience.
The person with the more experience.
Experience is everything.
Well, a brand new apprentice may not have experience, but because they're applying to that apprenticeship, that employer knows they're going to be getting experience. They're going to be getting knowledge. They're going to get experience on the job. They're going to get knowledge in the classroom, and they're dedicating themselves to a future career versus Joe Smith comes off the sidewalk and says, I'm just trying to get a job. Well, this person's showing initiative for a career. This person's showing that they're just trying to get paid.
Exactly.
The employer's going to go for the one who's looking for the career because they need that commitment and that skill set to continually improve.
Yeah, you don't want to hire some worker, right, off in the street that's basically just going like, you know, who's just only doing it just get their paycheck, right? You want to look for that worker that goes, you know, above and beyond, right? That continues on pushing and basically pushes others in a way.
It does work that way, yes. And that's a big difference, so.
And also kind of cycling back in terms of why I personally think like diversity within the workplace is very, very important, right? Is because once you're able to have that person that has, you know, that's able to push others, right? Not only push himself, but also kind of be that team motivator, right? And goes hand in hand.
It's not just the motivation or that, but honestly, it's also simple economics. Every one of these industries, every one of these corporations, companies, whatever that's out there is looking for people. The electrical apprenticeship admitted over 100 apprentices this year, and they still have employers going, I need more people.
Wow.
There's just not enough people. So diversity is not only important in the culture of a company to benefit it, as you said, with motivation, with different people working in different areas, different skill sets sometimes. You know, a guy who's 6 foot two is not going to fit in the same space as someone, anyone who's 5 foot two. So they want some of that too.
Yeah.
Okay. No. But the point being is that, those skill sets can help each other. So it's not only that benefit, but it's also just broadening the employment pool that they want everybody to participate in.
And this apprenticeship seems to be not only valuable in terms of the employees, but also the employers, since this is a great way in terms to, you know, how you kind of mentioned it, how there's still employers out there that want, you know, people to come work for them, right? Even though they just had, you know, I believe you mentioned 100 people within the electrical field.
Over 100 just started.
Over 100.
Over 100. I don't remember the exact number, but it's between 120 and 130 first-year apprentices joining our electrical apprenticeship, and it's just not enough.
They still need more.
They still need more.
And that's what kind of makes this entire apprenticeship that much more valuable for, again, not only for the employers, but also the employees that may be interested, you know, that want to push out and find that work. So are the companies that are involved with this apprenticeship program, right, are they all Maryland-based or is this national?
It's technically a little bit of both. If a company is national, they're going to have probably offices in Maryland, and the local offices will probably work with the apprenticeships. I can't name any off the top of my head, but most of the companies, yeah, they're probably based in Maryland. To be a registered apprenticeship in the state of Maryland, they have to be training in the state of Maryland. So that's how that part works. But there are companies that take their employees to other parts of the country sometimes. In fact, I know of one of our instructors, his own son, was in the apprenticeship. The company offered him an opportunity to go down to Florida. Mm-hmm. He's now in Florida. So that tells you it does get out there. But it's also, it doesn't have to be a Harford County company, for instance. It could be a company, the Electrical Association has, it's called the Harford County Electrical Contractors Association, but they have members that are in Baltimore and other counties. The Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors of Maryland, who sponsor our HVAC program, they're actually based in Severna Park. They actually teach their program out of four different colleges. Mm-hmm. So the employers are literally all over the state for both of them. And it doesn't matter where the employer is based. You know, again, Joe Smith might work for a company based right here in Bel Air. Mm-hmm. But that company's job might be in Gaithersburg, in La Plata, out in Frederick. It just depends on where the work is.
So you mentioned about the childcare apprenticeship, right? That's going to be, I believe, available. You can correct me on this, on January 2nd?
Correct. It's starting on January 2nd.
Okay, January 2nd. And how could they possibly sign up for that?
Well, there's some information on coming out on our website, if it's not already live. I believe it is. Mm-hmm. But the application will actually be open starting now through October 15th. So we're only given a two-week window for applications for this first cohort because we're unfortunately only able to accept 25 to start with. From there, we'll be offering another cohort in July. Mm-hmm. And if everything continues to go smoothly, we will offer it every 6 months, so starting in January and July every year. So initially, it's going to be 25 apprentices per cohort. That number may go up if we are successful with this, as we hope to be.
Is there any form of training that these people may require before they can apply for an apprenticeship?
No, there's no required training for these apprenticeships. Now, we are fortunate that we have some training programs in our trades classes that maybe they could learn a little bit of information, but nothing's required. You can come in with no previous experience to any of the three apprenticeships. You can apply and have a chance to get started in the program. I will say, though, in the case of the trades apprenticeships, you really got to like to work with your hands. And in case of childcare, obviously you better like to work with kids.
And to wrap all of this up, for those who may be interested in the apprenticeship, how may they be able to find more information for these apprenticeship programs here at HCC?
They could go to our website. There's information about all three apprenticeships on our website. And in the case of our two trades apprenticeships, there is a link to the websites for those organizations. But the other way, the simple way, is they can just reach out and contact me directly. I'm happy to answer questions that I can and direct them to anything to find the answers or find the answers for them if I can't answer the question right away. So if anybody does want to reach out to me, they can either email me at mbaylis@harford.edu, or they can call me at 443-412-2728, and I'd be glad to answer any questions they have.
And want to say thank you so much for taking your time to join us here today, Matt.
Again, thank you for having me.
Anytime.
Thanks for being with us. In case you missed the contact information, here it is again. Information about the apprenticeships program can be found on the HCC website. Enter apprenticeship in the search bar. You can also email Matt Bayliss at mbaylis@harford.edu. That's mbaylis@harford.edu. Or you can call him at 443-412-2728. Special thanks go to Gabriel Basford for conducting the interview, and to our editor, Zach Cloyd. There's an extended version of this interview on our podcast, HCC 360. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Vaya Skinner, and HCC 360 will be back next month with another deep dive into amazing opportunities at Harford Community College. Thanks for listening.